It was a great week last week for corn and soybean futures, soybeans in particular. We have market analysis today coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more, or you can just swing by your local branch and have a chat with someone about your ag operation today. We also have a big USDA report on the way today. We've got market analysis on the way with Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. He talks about last week, and he talks about what we could potentially see in that USDA report today. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast coming up as well. Looks to be dry, a nice harvest window opening, and the news is next here on HAT.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
To use or not to use hemp for livestock feed, and an event that you might want to check out if you're an Indiana woodland owner. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, during the annual NASDA meeting last week in downtown Indianapolis, ag experts discussed hemp during a panel discussion and whether the pros for using it as livestock feed outweighed the cons. Sabrina Halverson has more.
Hemp is gaining traction as a versatile crop, particularly in livestock feed, following the legal framework established by the 2018 Farm Bill. However, while its potential benefits are enticing, there are concerns about the safety of hemp-derived products, especially CBD in animal feed.
We see very concerning results.
Norman Bierenbaum, senior public health advisor with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, discussed the issue at the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture annual meeting.
Now, it's hard to say definitively for all animals because species have different metabolic rates of CBD, but what we have seen is the early indication of liver toxicity is very much apparent in some of the animal models, as are the reproductive toxicity for males. That comes from a mouse study.
He said as research continues, the regulatory pathway for hemp-based animal feed remains slow but crucial.
When you look at, say, milk from a cow, because cannabinoids are lipophilic, they stay in fat. It's one of the reasons why we say to pregnant and breastfeeding women, yes, you can drink alcohol and so-called pump and dump and then not worry about it. If you're using THC or cannabinoids, it could stay in your ducts and in your fat tissue for months, right? So there's a very different use case looking at eggs that are being consumed by an adult male and looking at milk that's being given to an infant with its formula, depending on what the contents are of the feed that's given to, say, a dairy cow. So it's one of the reasons why we're saying we need to use our existing frameworks and pathways for food-producing animals.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to innagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Well, if you're an Indiana woodland owner, there's an event that's coming up in northern Indiana that you'll definitely want to be a part of.
We'd like to invite anyone who owns a woods or is interested in forestry to come join us for this wonderful conference in November.
And that's Liz Jackson, Executive Director of the Indiana Forestry and Woodland Owners Association, or IFWO for short, talking about the Indiana Woodland Owner Conference, November 1st and 2nd in Wabash.
We'll have opportunities to network with other landowners, and you can share solutions and get new ideas. And you can also learn from wildlife and forestry professionals that we will have speaking.
The conference starts Friday, November 1st, with a very busy field day.
We're going to visit Salamone River State Forest in near Wabash. It's run by the Indiana DNR. We're going to look at a recent timber harvest and talk about the impacts and results of that. And then later on Friday afternoon, we're going to go to a family-owned forest near Silver Lake. We're going to talk about the family's efforts to improve their woods for forestry and wildlife.
Then on Saturday, November 2nd, the conference continues with an indoor program at the Honeywell Center in Wabash.
We'll have natural resource experts talk about things like the safe and effective use of herbicides, a hardwood industry update, programs for wildlife, and the invasive spotted lanternfly that has recently come to Indiana.
And one of the state's leading foresters, Lenny Farley with Purdue Extension, is among the many experts who will also be at the conference.
He's going to be talking about the invasive tree of heaven that many properties have. That's an invasive tree we want to get rid of. It also is a host for the spotted lanternfly, so it's something we're looking out for. It's not the easiest tree to control, so we want to make sure that people understand how to manage it.
For more information about the upcoming Indiana Woodland Owner Conference in Wabash, visit ifwoa.org. You can also find that link at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here across the Hoosier State for the week ahead, in the northern part of the state, we actually had dry weather work in for most of Saturday, had some decent sunshine for Sunday. Southern and central parts of the state had more clouds and lingering moisture. What I can tell you here is as we move through this week, we're going to be slowly but surely getting more sunshine over more of the state. I think the pattern that we saw develop on Sunday continues today for areas in the northern third of the state, but we'll see better sunshine trying to work out as we move through tomorrow and through Wednesday in central and southern Indiana. I think we see full-on drying everywhere. I'm not really that concerned about precipitation anymore here as we move through the next 24 to 48 hours, just on again, off again clouds. So I think that we see humidity levels try and drop a little bit as high pressure comes in this week. All in, all done, I think we see harvest ramp back up. And from travels that I put in over the weekend, there's a large part of the state that is ready to go right now on harvest of some kind. Now, let's pay attention to Friday ever so slightly. As cooler air tries to break loose out of Canada and shift southward, we may see clouds and a few spit sprinkle kind of shower setups come in as we move from Friday afternoon into Friday night. I don't think at this point we see any more than a few hundreds to a tenth in spots, 20% coverage or less, mostly in the north, but let's watch it closely. We're right back to dry weather afterwards with cool Canadian high pressure in play through the weekend, but we also see a little bit of rain trying to come through Michigan and the Great Lakes Sunday midday and afternoon, which could lead to some overnight Sunday night scattered rain showers down in Indiana and Ohio. Right now, if those hold together, we're probably looking at a quarter to three quarters of an inch with coverage around 75% of the Hoosier State. It will also usher in another round of cool air to start the week of the 7th. So the 7th may be cool, chilly, Tuesday the 8th as well, but we're right straight back to dry weather, and we see temperatures warm significantly through the rest of that week. So the 8th, 9th, and forward, I think we see another wide open dry window for harvest to advance forward. It looks to me like we're going to be sitting okay here with regard to harvest as we move through the first part of October. Now, that being said, I do fully understand and know that the southern parts of the state saw a lot more moisture, so that means we may not see as active a participation in harvest in areas from I-70 southward this week as we do up north. But I think by the time we get into late next week, everybody's going to be going strong easily. And hey, as long as the ground swallowed it up down in the south, I think crops are going to dry down very, very quickly because of the lower humidity that we're seeing for most of the upcoming 2 weeks. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
The fields of green have turned to gold, and drivers are sharing the road with Indiana's farmers as they work to harvest their crops. That's why Hoosier Ag Today, the Indiana State Department of Agriculture, and Keystone Cooperative are reminding motorists to be patient with large, slow-moving farm equipment and vehicles. Do your part and make safety a priority. Take precautions. Be alert, slow, and focused. Let's all get home safely this harvest season. A message from Hoosier Ag Today, ISDA, and Keystone Cooperative. Soybeans close the week with another rally. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Friday Farm Market Review. I'll have final numbers from Friday trade coming in just moments, but first let's get market analysis from Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. He and I spoke in the middle of the trading day on Friday. And really, Brian, this has turned out to be a pretty darn good week for corn and soybean futures in particular, soybeans especially. And a lot of it has to do with that dryness down in Brazil.
Well, thanks for having me, Eric. And I think you hit the nail on the head here as we move into the final days here of September, that the market is looking at some news from South America that at least has caught the attention of traders. And that is, it's quite dry as they begin planting their 2024-25 crop. It's a long way to go, and obviously with the crop barely, not even in the ground yet, and a lot can change. But the commodity funds had a short position for really since planting time in mid-May, made quite a bit of money on the way down in those short positions. And this fundamental factor, which is legitimate because the last 4 months, it's been dry in Brazil. And now that we're into planting, it becomes more of a concern, has spooked them enough, if you will, to get them to cover. And we have had a good rally here. I think November beans is up over a dollar from that low that it made here a few weeks ago. We've seen a nice rebound in December corn. I think corn is a bit of a follower now on beans. But as we approach the first week of October here, it'll be critical to keep an eye on those forecasts for Brazil, because October is a big planting month in Brazil. So that'll be front and center as the market breaks open a new month here on Tuesday of next week. The other factor you mentioned is the grain stocks report. It comes out on Monday, September 30th at noon Eastern time. That report, Eric, is only released four times a year. And I went back and looked at the history of the September report. And not every year. I don't want to give that impression to your listeners, but there have been several years where we've seen some volatile moves, unpredictable moves, I'll add, either to the upside or the downside and associated with this report. So any surprises Monday may give us a little bit of a boost. But overall, as you said a moment ago, a good week for producers, particularly as the beans, as we get this harvest started. We may be slowed a bit this weekend with a remnant of Hurricane Helene there moving up into our southern areas of Indiana and so forth. But after this moves through, the forecast looks much clearer that first half of October, Eric.
You mentioned, you know, some potential surprises. Where could those come in this Monday USDA report? What particularly in the report could come as a surprise? You know, if this happens, maybe we see this to the upside or the downside.
Well, there's a couple factors in the report on Monday, Eric. What we're looking at is the USDA will go back and survey these producers, your listeners, of course, during the month of August. And it basically looks at what we have in on-farm storage and off-farm storage throughout the U.S. here, state by state. And, of course, what we'll see there is that's the carryover, if you will, for the crop that was harvested last fall, in the fall of 23. So one surprise that I'll highlight for your listeners that kind of goes under the radar a little bit is the tendency for the USDA to go back. And believe it or not, they'll adjust the size of the 2023 crop. It's called a revision, and USDA will go back and revise the crops from last year. And just to give your listeners an idea of what the volume of those changes may be for soybeans, we've seen a couple of sizable adjustments over the years. Back in with the 2018-19 crop, so that had been 5 years ago in the September report, that crop was reduced 116 million bushel. On the flip side, in 2021, or the 2021 crop, beg your pardon, was adjusted upwards by 81 million bushel. And we've also seen some changes in corn in the last couple of years. So that'll be one potential area of surprise, either to the upside or downside. Again, not making any prediction, but just being aware that the USDA can go back and make changes. For corn, the other change, the other surprise might be the feeding, the level of corn feeding that we saw during the summer, June, July, August. During that time, of course, as your listeners know, corn is trending lower. So did we see more corn disappearance, for lack of a better word, because it isn't all feeding. That's kind of a category. Feed residual is what it's called. But regardless, that would be another area of surprise, one way or another. If we fed more than we thought, or if we didn't feed as much as we thought, But the trade range, and this is where I'll leave your listeners with that on, Eric, the trade range for corn is 1.75 billion bushel to 2.017 billion bushel. That's over 250 million bushel range. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. The average of that, 1.846. The bean range isn't quite as wide, 323 to 360, with an average of 347. But the surprises would be a larger or smaller change in the size of the 23 crops. USDA makes revisions there, or in corn, in the case of feeding for this summer.
Brian, you talked about weather in Brazil. We've talked about the USDA report and some positioning there. You touched on weather here. We had some rain here in Indiana last week. We've got the remnants of Hurricane Helene coming through. We did have some rain here through parts of the Corn Belt, putting a bit of a pause to some harvest operations. Did that pause have anything to do with maybe limiting some gains this week, or are we still early enough, didn't really have much of an impact?
I think it gave producers a chance, Eric, to think about what they want to do with this rally. For one thing, we are seeing more soybeans being sold now with this dollar rally that we've seen. I know that, as you said, harvest is not very far along at all. If we look at Indiana here, I think we're in single digits still statewide for the latest report. I don't have the numbers. Oh, there they are right in front of me here. For example, Indiana harvest on beans, I was farther along than I thought, 16%. But I think that the pause maybe didn't affect the markets too much, because the markets know that, looking at the forecast, that after we, the remnant of, as you said, Hurricane Helene moves through, it's much drier the first 2 weeks in October. So I think we'll get into soybean harvest in October here. But this rally has caught producers' attention. They are looking to take advantage. We're back above $10 beans in many cases, off the combine, if you will. That's not as high as it was earlier this year, needless to say, but it's a lot higher than it was a month ago. So I guess I'd put it under the heading of the pause in harvest gave producers an opportunity to kind of step back and take a look at what this market has done the last month with a rally, and ponder about maybe it's time to look at some sales. One thing I'd add to that, Eric, from our standpoint, is a producer might want to consider, if they're selling those beans, in my opinion, a strategy might be to add a call option to those positions, because it sure be nice to maintain that flexibility in the market. With you, as you said a moment ago, with a lot of uncertainty about Brazil and the crop year just starting, that it'd be nice to maintain flexibility if a rally were to continue down the road. Of course, no one knows, but that gives that flexibility to lock in a floor, get control of those bushels, lock in a floor, but leave the upside open.
These rallies, I mean, they're really only as good as the next forecast, really, whether that be for here or for Brazil. It's tough to tell.
You summarized that well in a short period of time there. We're in a bit of a weather market here. It may not quite equate to a 4th of July hot, dry scare here in the Midwest, but it's important because of the importance of Brazil in the world market. When you're looking at the largest soybean producer in the world by far now, above the U.S., and it's not off to an ideal start, but as any of your listeners who farm more than 1 year will know, weather markets are pretty fickle. They can come and go, and you just set it right on. We could come in here Sunday night, for example, and find out that the weather has changed significantly in Brazil into a wetter pattern, and could slice off quite a bit of this rally in a hurry. So you just have to kind of put yourself in that mindset of a weather market mindset where things are unpredictable. They can move fast, and they can exceed your expectations on the upside, but they can also disappoint you as a producer just as quickly with a change, as you said, in the forecast.
Brian Basting there with Advanced Trading. You can reach him at 309-664-2314. On Friday, December corn finished up 4 3/4 to 418. 4 better on March corn, 435. Novi beans up 24 3/4, 1065 3/4. January beans up 23 3/4 to 1083. March up 22 1/4, 1095 1/4. December wheat down 4 1/4, 580. And on livestock, December live cattle down 35 cents, 184.47. December lean hogs down 55 to 73.37. Be sure to follow the markets throughout the day today, especially around the noon Eastern time release of that USDA report, HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. We'll do this again tomorrow morning and get some market analysis as to how that report turned out. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.